ourselves back. Parak Yudbeis, Pasuk Yudbeis. We're talking about Yoash. Yoash is the king of Malchus Yehuda. Yoash was raised by Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol. He raised him in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Eventually, Yoash was taken out at the age of 7 or 8, depending, right? And that's when he killed his mother or his grandmother? His mother, I believe, Asalia. Asalia was taken over the kingdom.
It was at least his grandmother. His mother, his name was
grandmother. Tzvia. That's right, because I meant Tzvia. That's right, because that's where my name comes from. There is no Tzvi in Tanakh. There is only a Tzvia. So my name comes from a girl. Just saying. It's pretty awesome. So either way, so Yoash ended up becoming the king. He ended up making this system where the Kohanim would be paid by the people, and the people would give their money over to make the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to set everything up. Unfortunately, it didn't work out very well, because the Kohanim had to pay more for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash than the money that they were being, that was being donated to them. So instead, Yoash made a new concept of the two boxes that was used just to repair the Beis HaMikdash. It was called Bedek HaBayis and something else, right? And they used that to be able to answer. Alright, so that's that. Pasuk Yudbeis. Now, so it's a case of Mesukana Yidei Osei HaMalacha HaMufgadim. They gave the money.
And Shalom just confirmed.
Yeah, the Machzeh Shekel was different. Machzeh Shekel was for the Olos that they had to give every year. So that's completely different.
Just for Beis HaMikdash.
Yes, correct. That's what I was guessing on the Sukkah Yidei Osei HaMalacha, to those people who didn't done the work, right? HaMufgadim, Beis HaShem, that were appointed over the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, no longer were the Kohanim in charge, but they had regular construction workers, real construction workers that were now in charge. And they gave the money over to the carpenters and the builders who were making the Beis HaMikdash. So, for those who are Godrim, so the Godrim are referring to the people who are masons, right? Those are the people who put together stuff. There was also stone cutters and other quarriers, right? As well as to buy wood and other stones that were quarried in order to be machazik, the Bedek HaBayis, in other words, the rebuilding of the temple, and whatever was needed in order to strengthen the Beis HaMikdash. Ach lo yaseh Beis HaShem sipos kesef mezamros mizrakos. But was not to be used, right, for the Beis HaMikdash, was supposed to be these silver pitchers that sipos kesef mizamros are different things you use for songs. Mizrakos chatzotzros. Mizrakos are bowls and stuff. Chatzotzros are trumpets. The golden and silver vessels that was brought out from other money that was donated to the Beis HaMikdash. But the stuff that was used for the Bedek HaBayis could only be used for the Bedek HaBayis. You could not use it for anything else. Kilo osi HaMalacha, you knew it was only given over to those who did the work. The chizkubos Beis HaShem, and strengthened the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, there were also iron and coppersmiths that are mentioned in Divrei HaYomim. It's not mentioned over here, but that's that. Yeah, was that?
They have to go to the mikveh every morning when they went to work?
These people, don't know. Doesn't say. That would be special. All right, anyway, I don't know. Tez Zayin. It says, this is an unbelievable pasuk, and we hold this lahalacha. This comes out lahalacha. They did not keep accounts of the men who were given the money. Right? If you were given the money to do the work or whatever it is, they did it with good faith. In other words, trustworthiness. You gave the money, and that was it. You can't suspect them. You can't ask them for totals. You can't ask them for anything. If these people were in charge, they had to be special people. And
is there a hired auditor?
That's interesting. Not for these people that were in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, because we didn't want anything to happen where people would worry, oh, my money is being used badly. Like, for example, if you have an expose, let's say, right, and the Chicago Tribune came out and said, like, oh, see, all this money is going toward garbage, and it's not being used correctly. People are like, forget it, I'm not donating any money anymore. If I see that my money is not being used properly, then I'm not going to donate my money.
Yeah, but
they never wanted that happen.
But then you're also, you have charlatans will come in and be like, oh, I'm a great...
Well, no, that's why you needed to make sure that the Gabbai Tzedakah, the Gaboyim of Tzedakah, had to be unbelievably special people. I would assume that Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol, was in charge of it. Yeah, what's up, Yishai?
I think that happened to Moshe Rabbeinu Mishkan, that like, you didn't have pockets because they didn't want to...
That was the whole point. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have those hems, and they still questioned him. And that's Eilef Kudiya Mishkan. He had to count up the stuff that was used for the Mishkan, because otherwise they weren't going to believe him. And they had the whole kasher. Remember, they didn't know what to do with the, they didn't know what they did with the last 1,775 silver pieces. They didn't know what that was. Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them what it was. And that's exactly why we shouldn't suspect the people that are in charge of this, assume that it's there.
So there's no there's turn of blind eyes over there.
There's no question that it's problematic. There's no question that there's problems behind it. You have to assume that these people were unbelievably special people. Now, there's no question, I am sure there were people that took advantage of this situation. And it did not work out well all the time. You know, there were times where it worked out well, times where it didn't. You guys, do you guys have one? There is another one over there. There's a black one up there. There's a Tanakh around there somewhere. Yeah, on the bottom, second shelf up on the right-hand side.
Just trust me, I'm a good person.
Second shelf up from the bottom. On the bottom. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there are problems with it, but that was the halacha.
So the halacha nowadays is what?
Not even the king. There was no accounting. I will tell you, the halacha is that applies for us nowadays is that a person who's in charge of tzedakah of a shul is not suspected ever. In other words, he's always given the benefit of the doubt that if you see him take money out of the pocket, you have to assume that it's his own money and not the tzedakah money, that you're never assuming anything different when it comes to this stuff. That's halacha, that we do end up in the way it's mentioned in Bava Basra and Tavches, it's mentioned in Arachan as well. Either way, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Kesef Asham and Kesef Chatos, right, the money for the Ashamos, in other words, the guilt offerings, as well as for Chatos, for sin offerings, Lo Yivavis Sham LaKohanim Yiyu, that's not going to be brought to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to be for the Kohanim themselves. Now, that's a little bit strange, because a chatas and an asham is not brought from donated money. You cannot bring a chatas and an asham from donated money. You have to sin, and then you're chayiv to bring a chatas or an asham. That's the only way you bring a chatas and an asham. Nobody can get up and say, I'm bringing a chatas today. It is impossible to bring. So what happened exactly when it came to this? So, I'm sorry?
Communal ones?
So, no. You're right that there are such things as communal chatos. There is no such thing as a communal asham, though. So that wouldn't answer that question. So Yoash had a problem with a contradiction in Vayikra. In Vayikra, it says that there's asham, asham, lashem. Asham who? Ashom Asham Lashem. It's a guilt offering. It's a guilt offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, he had a problem with that. He didn't understand. And Asham is eaten by Kohanim. That's a straight-out pasuk in Vayikra. So why does it say Asham Hu, Asham, Asham Lashem Lashem, that it seems like it's going straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It doesn't. It goes to the Kohanim. Some of it is burned in the base of Mikdash. Some of it is burned on top of the Mizbeach to Hashem. But other stuff goes to the Kohanim. So how do you answer up that series?
Well, Hashem wants it to go to the Kohanim. So, I mean, the Korban is for God. But
so
Hashem
one way of answering it up is saying that the Kohanim only get it from Hashem. That it all goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegates it back to the Kohanim. Thing is that you don't need that pasuk to tell you that. It seems to be from another pasuk. So Yoash darshened the pasuk and answered, right, that the meat of the Asham itself does not really belong to the Kohanim. Really, it straight goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where it should go, which means that if people do donate as Chatos and Ashamos accidentally, then it automatically becomes an Ola and is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So if they brought Kesef Asham, the Kesef Chatos, Lo Yuba Beis Hashem, La Kohanim Yu, that goes to the Kohanim, but the money is used up for the Olas, for the Korban Olas, and they did that as well. Now, unfortunately, what's up?
Kesef Hashem, Kesef Hatos, the money for them. What money is that? Money that people inadvertently donated for Hashem or Chazos?
Yeah. Says the pasuk, it goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it goes to the Kohanim.
Right.
The Chazos and the Hashem will go to the Kohanim, but extra money ends up becoming Olos instead. That's how you end up darshaning
up the pasuk. Where's the extra money coming from?
The extra, meaning if they donated it, it's a Chazos and an Hashem, but it can't be donated. Since that's extra money that can't be used for a chatas and asham, then it was used as an ola instead.
But those are the
That's what because la kohanim yu, therefore the extra money went to become an ola. I know it's strange and it's not straight out in the pasuk, but that's how Yoash's drush happened in Vayikra, and he explained it over here, and that's what it is. But that's how they end up learning out this pasuk over here. Now, bad stuff happened. Yoyada passed away. Yoyada the Kohen Gadol. Now, this is the teacher of Yehoash. Now, although Yehoash was a tremendous tzaddik, unfortunately, he never was taught things in a way that let him keep stuff inside his head for even after his Rebbe was gone for him to keep it inside.
That's a simpler explanation.
Yeah, what did he say?
So somebody who separates money for his chatas and his asham, and then he buys, so he puts aside money, and then he buys an animal, and there's money left over, that's the leftover money he's referring to.
Goes to an ola. So that's the chatas and the asham itself.
You're right. And the kohanim take it, and he says, like,
okay,
you do buy all those from it.
Anyway, what ended up happening was like this. Yoyada the Kohen Gadol passed away. Now, Yoyada the Kohen Gadol had two wives. He had sons and daughters and everything was over there. I would assume it means he had two wives over his lifetime, because we all know that a Kohen Gadol cannot have two wives. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can only have one wife. That's the whole first parak of Yuma. He can only have one wife, and the whole kasha is what should he do for a backup in case his wife dies. But he can only have one wife. Either way, he was very old. He was 130 years old when he ended up passing away. After he died, the officers of Yehuda came up to Yehoash and they bowed down to him and they treated him like a god. They said, "You were holier than the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because during your whole child, you know, when you were a child, you were on top of the Beis Hamikdash." So even the Kohen Gadol could only go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year on Yom Kippur, and that's it. He could never go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You lived in the Kodesh HaKadoshim as a little kid for 7 years. You are the holiest person in the world. You're like a god to us. And he liked it. The king liked it. Yoash heard it, and he's like, "You know what? I am a god. I must be really, really special." And so he accepted it, and he found it maybe flattering. Maybe he was even convinced by their arguments. And all of a sudden, people started worshiping idols all over again. Oz Yalach Hazol Melech Aram. So in Parak Yudchet, it says, "I'm sorry,
idols of him."
I think it was him, and that led to them believing in the Asheros and the Balan and everything else. But once they started worshiping Yoash, yeah. And they kept going.
Well, I was going to say, like, he's similar to Yashka. It kind of makes sense. Like, he survived.
Maybe it was. Yeah.
The only one from the David to survive, though.
Yeah, the only one of David
and Bob. Bear and eagle all have anything to do with that.
I don't know if they worship that stuff. We forget what Baalim are. Baalim are, remember, are the male versions of the Asherah, which was the female version. There were male and female idols, so it probably looked like human beings. So maybe somebody, you know, like somebody bowed down to them, right, thinking that it was Yehoash or represented Yehoash or what a god did for Yehoash. I don't know. You know, I can't tell you. I've never worshipped.
Well, if you go to the Art Institute, you can see them. They're more Eastern guys, but you can see that.
First, we're starting off with that sentence. We're not going to the Art Institute ever, but yes, eventually.
No, but they have like statues of the gods that they would worship.
No. Yeah.
I had to go on a field trip. It was not as fun, but.
I will tell you. Yeah, now you're manning up. Now you're, I will tell you. Yeah, you don't have to. By the way, you don't have to destroy them. Halacha, we hold not like Avram Avinu. Even though Avram Avinu destroyed the idols of his father's house, you're not required to steal. You're not required to knock down the idols of other people. Yeah. All right. Oz Yala Chazol Melech Aram. Chazol, the king of Aram, then came up. Remember, this Chazol who got the Nevuah from Yonah already. Chazol, from Elisha already. Elisha saw that Chazol was going to take over the nation. He waged war against Gas, and he captured it. And then he decided he wanted to go all the way to Yerushalayim. Yehoash, the king of Yehuda, took all the kachim, all the holy things that were donated by Yehoshaphat, Yehoram, and Achazio, his fathers, Malki to all the kings of Yehuda, Beth Kadosh, Beth Kolazov, and all of his holy things, and all the gold, and into Vosos Vishem that was in the treasuries of the house of Hashem, Beth Amalek, in the house of the king. And he sent them over to Chazol, the king of Aram, by Yalmeal Yerushalayim. And Chazol decided, you know what, I'm not going to fight against Yerushalayim. He bribed them enough. So it's so funny. He's the one that took all the donations from all the people for the Beis HaMikdash, and now he's giving them all back to Chazol. That's what ended up happening. At this point in Divrei Hayamim, there was a Navi that stood up. He was the son-in-law of Yehoash, the son-in-law of Yehoash. His name was Zechariah. Zechariah got up and he argued with the people and he told them very, very strongly, "You're violating the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Your wives will be taken and they'll be raped. All the stuff that you have will be plundered, etc., etc., etc." And they stood up and they killed Zechariah, including Yehoash, meaning his own father-in-law. I don't know, they say that some father-in-laws do want to do this, but he got up and he mamish killed him right in front. And as he died, he said, "May HaKadosh Baruch Hu see vengeance from my blood." Zechariah was the second to most powerful, most respected person in the kingdom. Although he was not a Kohen Gadol, he may have been a Kohen Gadol at some point, but he's not listed in the list of Kohanim Gedolim. He thought no one was going to go up against him. And aside from that, the day that he got up and rebuked the people was on Yom Kippur. He was on Yom Kippur. He may have been one of the top Kohanim. He's the son-in-law of the king. He rebukes the people. He was another as well, remember, tells the people off for what they had done, and Yehoash had him killed. Yoel Shaddam killed. It's unbelievable what ended up happening over there. Yeah.
Was he the one who had his blood was like boiling?
Yes, correct. And we're going to get to the Uzzar Pop. You know what? Later on, it was Uzzarabdan over here. But I will tell you, this time, Chazal did not go. As we go on, Chazal is not going to lead the army anymore. But yes, the famous story of Nebuzaradan is Nebuzaradan, who was sent by Nebuchadnezzar, saw the blood boiling in the base of Mikdash 180 years later. And when he saw it, he turned and he said, whose blood is this? And they told him that it was a Navi who revealed. Well, at first they said it's just the Korbanos. And he tried testing, he saw it showed sheep blood, goat blood, cow blood, none of it fit the blood that was on the ground. So he said, okay, so let's start shechting. So he started taking out first all the Kohanim, shechted it, and said, the blood was still boiling. So he took all the blood of the young kids, the Tinoko Shabbos Rabban, the little kids, shechted all of them, and still did not stop the blood from boiling. Took all the young ladies, the young maidens that were still the Sulevs, shechted it over it, and still the blood was still boiling. And he called out loud in the garden and said, Zachariah, Zachariah, I have destroyed the best of them. Do you want me to destroy them all? According to the Gemara, 940,000 kids were killed. 940,000 kids, or the people, I'm sorry, were killed on top of that blood. Immediately when Nebuzaradan said that, the blood stopped boiling. The blood stopped boiling. I know, seriously. But the blood stopped boiling at that point. Nebuzaradan was so shocked by that, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it down. He started to regret his cruelty, became frightened. He thought, if that's the punishment that's on them, what's going to be by me? And Nebuzaradan did tshuva and died as a Jew. Was Megayer and died as a Jew. Really unbelievable, isn't it? I'm sorry?
He jumped in some sort of fire, right?
Nebuzaradan did not.
No,
no, not Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan was the chief executioner of Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first base of Mikdash. He's the one that was sent in. And apparently. Nebuchadnezzar was not, by the way. The Malachim said no to Nebuchadnezzar as a Gemara in Sanhedrin. But Nebuzaradan, apparently he did. But yesterday, by Yosha Kolosher also.
It seems like what he did by donating the money, it worked. Chazal decided not to destroy Yerushalayim and he continued on his way.
Unfortunately, it's not going to last very long. But yesterday, Yosha Kolosher also, Elohim Ksuvim, Al Sefer Divrei Yom Malchut Yehuda, the rest of the words of Yosha and everything he did, it's all written in the Sefer Divrei Yom Malchut Yehuda, which is Divrei Yamim. But Yakum Avada Vayikshu Kosher. So his servants got up and they made a bit of a plot. Was Yoash Beis Milo Hayorit Sila. They killed Yoash, who was in Beis Milo on the way down to Sila. The reason why he was there is because at that point Yoash had gone out to war against Chazal. Now Chazal did not go out to war the second time around, but Yoash was hit very, very badly in the middle of the war. As he was dying, they brought him over to Beis Milo for him to recover. And as he was recovering, that's when the people, when they went up against him. Who were they? Yozachar ben Shimos, Yozabad ben Shomer Avodov. His servants, Hiku, they were the ones who killed him by Yamos, and he died. They buried him with his father near David, by Yimloch Amatzia ben Otasov, and Amatzia, his son, took his place. Now, he was not buried in the graves of the kings. He was not allowed, even though Yoash was a tremendous king during the times of Yoyada, and a big tzaddik, since he did such bad things when he died, right, unfortunately, he was not buried
in the tomb of the king.
I would assume the Kohen Gadol. It's a great question, though. I don't know.
I don't even get Tom, eh? I would assume it's the son.
No. Somebody was in charge. I mean, who was in charge of letting somebody in? I would assume it was the Kohen Gadol who made the decisions.
Why? Wow, I would think it would be the son. It would be the family. The family usually keep the...
They'd always leave them in. They would let him in, I would assume.
Well, no, I mean, what's his name?
Didn't let Achaz in, but the other kings usually, I mean, you'd assume that they put them inside. Either way, it did not happen. It does mention the two people that they came from, Shimos and Shomer Avodov, right? The both of those people were for Amun and Moab, that they didn't have Akaras Atov for everything that Yoash did, etc. Okay, let's go. Perikud Gimel, guys, Pasuk Aleph. It says, B'shat Esmer Shol Shana LeYoash Ben Achazio Melech Yehuda, in the 23rd year of Yoash, the son of Achazia, the king of Yehuda, Malach Yoachaz ben Yehuel Yisrael. Yoachaz, the son of Yehu, became king over Yisrael. B'Shomron Shvatzer Shana. He was king in Shomron for 17 years. So Yasser Rabbeinu Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Are you surprised? The kings of Israel. Vayelech Achar Chatzos Yerubim Ben Avot. He went after the sins of Yerubim Ben Avot. Shrechti Yisrael Lo Sor Mimena. He would not turn away from it. Now remember, Yerubim Ben Avot, golden calves, right, were fooling everybody. Vayechav Hashem Yisrael, God got angry at the Jews. Vayit Nebiyad Chazol Melech Aram. He put them into the hands of Chazol, the king of Aram. Yad Ben Hadad ben Chazal kol yamin, and inherit the ben Adad, the son of Chazal, all of their days until eventually Bnei Yisrael were exiled from the land and all Bnei Yisrael were completely gone. We lost the 10 tribes at that time. Ve'chal Yoachaz b'nei Hashem. However, Yoachaz did daven in front of Hashem. Yishmael love Hashem, and Hashem listened to him. Ki roz lachatz Yisrael, ki lachatz Hashem melech Aram. He saw the oppression that Bnei Yisrael had because the king of Aram had oppressed them. Now that word is used in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the word lachatz. Lachatz asher lochatzimo sum that we say by the Mitzrayim. So I don't know if there's a connection between that lachatz and this lachatz. There is no parish over here that did say such thing. However, on the other hand, I would say that there's definitely a connection that the same way that they oppressed them by maybe making them into slaves or whatever it was, I would assume the same thing happened over here. Plus,
what's the meaning of Vayechal as opposed to directly saying that?
So there's a sefer
annotation.
Sha'arim b'tfila. Okay, he goes through the 10 different types of tfila.
We have Vayechal Moshe.
Right. Chala, Chila. I don't remember what the shorish is. So the Chala or Chila is a certain type of tfila, but I don't remember each one of them. It's Sha'arim b'tfila. It's written by Rosham Shomer Foltinkus, I believe. It's an unbelievable sefer. It goes through all the 10, like Tza'aka and Za'aka and all the different kinds that are out there. And Vayetar and Yispalel, etc. I don't remember them though. I did it years ago, unfortunately. I keep forgetting it. Vayitan Hashem Yisrael Moshiach. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a Moshiach, a savior. They left from the hands of Aram. Yisrael sat in their tents at the end of days. Now, it doesn't say who the liberator was, who this Moshiach was. It happened to be Yoachaz's son. Yoachaz had a son. His name was Yehoash. If that doesn't confuse everybody, Yehoash of Malchus Yisrael, not of Malchus Yehuda. But Yehoash is going to be a good man as well. He's going to be a good man. He's the one that took back all those cities. Unfortunately, they never turned away from the sins of Beis Yerubim, Asher Achdias Yisrael, that had caused Bnei Yisrael to sin. They walked in that way. They still had the Asherah trees in the Shomer. Remember, they got rid of all the Baalim in Bnei Yisrael. Those were all gone. But the Asherah tree still remained, the female version of it. So Yoachaz no longer had any army left. He had 50 horsemen. He had 10 chariots and 10,000 foot soldiers. The king of Aram had destroyed all of them. He's seen in Kafir Ladush, and he had made them into dust to trample. Now at that point, they became humbled. When Jews become humbled, that's when they prosper. You want to show Yoachaz everything he did, his strength. It's written in the Sefer of Divrei Yamin of the Malchus Yisrael, which unfortunately we don't have. He died with his fathers. They buried him in Shomron. And his son Yoash became king instead. It doesn't get much more confusing than this. In the 37th year of Yoash, king of Yehuda, Malach Yehoash ben Yoachaz al Yisrael, another Yehoash became king in Yisrael v'Shomron for 16 years. He also did evil in the eyes of Hashem. He did not turn away from all the sins of Yerubim v'Asher after Yisrael b'Halach. He kept going the same ways. Pasuk Yud Beis over here. The rest of Yoash, everything he did, the strength that he waged war with Amatia, the king of Yehuda, Balang Suvim, I'll save Divrei Yom Lamalchi Yisrael. It's written in that Divrei Yom, which we don't have. Yoash died with his fathers. Yerubim sat on his throne. Yerubim, the son of Yoash. And Yoash was buried in the Shomron with the kings of Yisrael. Now it's getting even more confusing, because when you have another Yerubim in Malchus Yisrael, it's like King George and King George II. That's what we're up to right now. But that's that. Okay. The Elisha Kola Eskoyo. Now Pasuk Yud Dalid. Elisha got sick with the final sickness Asher Yamosbo that he was going to die in. The Yeridol of Yoash Melech Yisrael. Yoash, the king of Yisrael, came down to him. Yoash Melech Yisrael, although he was still worshipping the Chatos of Yerubim and Nebat, and he was doing other things, nonetheless, they retreated with huge respect all the Nevi'im of Kol Yisrael. The Yitkopanav, he cried upon his face. The Yomar, and he said, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael for Roshav. My father, the chariot of Israel and all of his horsemen. In other words, you are the one who was in charge of all of it. He saw Elisha, without you, what are we going to do? All of our wars are fought really through you and your Torah learning. What are we going to do now that you're dead? You see that Yoash was not as bad as he looked like just a couple psukim ago. Now, Elisha got three sicknesses, and that's why it says, Chola, Cholyo, Asher Yamuspo. The three sicknesses were, number one, he got sick when he cursed the children. And remember, he had the 42 kids die outside from those bears. He got his first sickness at that point, but he got better. His second sickness came when he kicked out Gehazi, and he threw him away, and he said that you're never coming back.
For good reason.
Well, granted, he did have good reason, but says the Gemara in Sota, as well as in Sanhedrin, what he should have done is small doche, his left hand pushing him away, but his right hand pulling him in, meaning your stronger hand pulling him in. What he should have done is made him do a little bit more tshuva. He didn't do that. Because he didn't do that, he was punished. Elisha was punished, and he was given a second sickness. The final sickness that he had was not a punishment. It was a sickness that led up to his death so that he knew he was dying. This is the final sickness. It said that tzaddikim have a sickness before they die, a stomach ailment. And the reason why is because we don't want their bodies to rot. So listen to this unbelievable Chassam Sofer. He says the reason why they have these stomach ailments is that they go to the bathroom and throw up every little bit of garbage that they have in their system. At the end of their life, they can't eat anything, which means their stomachs are virtually empty. Their large and small intestines are virtually empty, which means the body is basically clean. It's like a mummification process without needing to put anything inside. Their whole body is completely and utterly cleansed, so when they die, they're completely cleansed, and that way, says the Chassam Sofer, their bodies last longer. There's no tsoa, no garbage inside that breaks down the entire system. It's an unreal Chassam Sofer where he goes through how the mummification process applied for Yaakov and Yosef, and he said that by Elisha as well, that he gets 51.
In Tennessee, they have a body garden where people donate their body to be just lie outside. They study what happens to human body if it decays out. And I read a whole article about this, and one of the things is the stomach gets very bloated.
Bloated.
And
right afterwards. Unbelievable. So that doesn't happen by him. The Chassam Sofer also says something crazy, which I've never been able to check up because I haven't seen it. The Chassam Sofer says that after death, you revert back to what you were like in the womb. He says that your mouth closes up and your throat closes completely, so that nothing can go down your throat, but your belly button opens up again. And you can put stuff into the body through the belly button, but not through the mouth. I can't believe it, but the crazy part about Chassam Sofer is that Chassam Sofer was well known for sciences. He writes about Copernicus and, what's it called, and Galileo, in two of his Sfarim, where he goes through. I mean, I don't know where this comes from, but like, I don't know where the Chassam Sofer got it from. Anyway, at the end of the day, Joash had. But I would know that for sure. I don't know where he got this from, about the stomach opening up. I would love.
We're not going to put anything inside.
That's part of the Chassam Sofer's tshuva. That's part of what he's talking about when he talks about this. He talks about what you can do and what you can't do. But you can't do it if there's any soul in the body. But that's why it says bayigva. That's the wording. Gavia means that they got a sickness before they died. Yaakov. Okay. Anyway. Vayomelo Elisha. Pasuk Tetzav. Elisha said to him, Kach. Keshes v'chitzim. Now, listen to this sign. Elisha tells Yoah, she says, listen, take a bow and take arrows. Vayikach lav keshes v'chitzim. He took a bow and he took arrows. Vayomer l'melech Yisrael. He told to the king of Israel, Harkiv yodcha l'keshes. So rest your hand upon the bow. Vayarkiv yado, he put his hand on him. Yesam Elisha yodem v'yidei ha'melech. And Elisha put his hands on top of the king's hands on the bow. Vayomer, psachach lon kedma. Open up the window toward the east. Vayitach, and he opened it up. Vayomer Elisha, and Elisha said to him, Yirei, shoot, Vayor, and he shot. Vayomer, and he said, Chetz Tshua LaHashem, Chetz Tshua Ba'aram. This is an arrow of salvation for our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and an arrow of salvation from all of Aram. V'kisas Aram ba'afek ad kaleh. You will destroy Aram in a fake until they're totally destroyed. Meaning you, Yehoash, are going to destroy all of Aram, and they'll no longer fight against Kal Yisrael. My Yischus, says Elisha, is going to last now with your bow and arrow, and this symbolically is going to show that the war is going to be won by you later on in life. This was the last miracle, either number 16 or number 18 of Elisha, his last miracle that he showed. What? That's Akasha. That's Akasha. And there's Akasha whether that counts in the 16 or 18. But Yomer Kachachitim. So he said, take the arrows. Vayikach, and he took. And he said to the king of Israel, Hach Arza. Okay, hit on the ground. Vayach Shlosh Pamim, Vayamod. He hit it three times, and then he stopped.
Said, he only said to hit it, not three times.
Correct.
He hit the three from
him. Even worse. He said hit it on the ground, did not tell him to stop. He said hit it on the ground. What he should have done is kept hitting until Elisha said to stop. That's what you do when a Navi tells you to do something. Remember with the woman, the Isha Tzarfatit, right, pouring out the oil, right? When you're pouring out the oil, don't stop. Elisha said, just keep pouring. And by here also, he should have known, Yehoshua was a big enough person, he should have known, keep hitting, right? So you don't have to stop. He hit it three times and he stopped. The man of God got angry at him, it says in Pasuk Yitzchak. Had you hit five or six times, then you would have been able to destroy Aram completely. Ad Kaleh. That's a Shlosh Pam Takas Aram. And now, it's only going to be three times, and that's it. It's going to be a limited miracle. It's only going to be up until a certain amount. Now remember, guys, Elisha was different from Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi's, all of his miracles happened through Torah, and because they happened through Torah, they were unlimited miracles. Miracles that could keep going without anything to have it there or to stop them from being there. Elisha's, all of his miracles happened through tefillah. A prayer that causes miracles to happen is by definition limited. It cannot keep going. I'm sorry?
It's limited to what you prayed for.
It's limited to how long your prayer can apply for or whatever it is. So because of that, he said it will go until you allow it to stop. This is going to be limited right now. And because you only hit three times, therefore you're only going to be able to defeat them three times. Had you hit more, had you gone until I told you to stop, then it would have been 10, 15, 20, however many times, and then Aram would have been completely destroyed. But you messed that up. But Yamas Elisha, Elisha then died. They buried him. Moab, Yavol Ba'aretz Ba'ashana. Now the troops of Moab then came that very year. The crazy thing about tzaddikim is that although a tzaddik is mechaper, and his death is a kapara for the entire nation, there's other things that the tzaddik was able to protect during his lifetime that's no longer there. For example, I'm giving this as an example, I can't tell you this, whatever. When Rebbe Yashiv was alive, right, when Rebbe Yashiv was alive, let's say, right, there were no attacks from, let's say, from Syria, right? There were no attacks from Syria. However, there were, however, terrorist bombings. There were terrorist bombings. Meaning, Rebbe Yashiv's chus will work to be able to make sure that Syria doesn't fight us, but there were terrorist bombings that happened during his lifetime. When he died, the terrorist bombings would stop, but then Syria came into the fray. Meaning, he was mechaper for one thing. But then another thing came in, which his chus during his lifetime was able to stop, that no longer was there. That's the idea behind what happened when Elisha happened, that Moab had never been in the fray. Moab had not gotten involved. It was only Aram. So Elisha was able to stop Aram, but he wasn't able to stop all the other nations, that his chus was able to hold on while he was still alive, which is why you always continue to daven for the tzaddik to remain alive. Vayim Kovrim Ish, so they were burying a man, and he rose a gedud. They saw the troop of Moab coming. They threw the man into the cover of Elisha. Now, obviously, they didn't just throw it inside a grave. They dropped the man and they ran. The man then rolled into the cover of Elisha. The man's bones touched the bones of Elisha, and he lived. And he got up onto his feet. And that is a kasha, whether that is an actual thing. Was that a Russia who didn't deserve to be buried with Elisha, and that's why he immediately got up, and that's the reason why? Was it an honor for the mace that Elisha should have such honor to not be buried with anybody else? Or was this Shalom ben Tikva? Shalom ben Tikva was the husband of a lady by the name of Hulda. Hulda was one of the Nevi'os, one of the seven Nevi'os. She was the cousin of Yirmiah, and he was one of the greatest men of his time, very big tzaddik, and used to give water to all the travelers who used to come to Yerushalayim. It was through his chus that his wife was given prophecy. Once he died, he wasn't supposed to die. I don't know what that means exactly. So he was given tchiyas amesa by Elisha, and he got up and he lived, and he went there. If it was a Russia, then he just got up out of the grave and died somewhere else. So that's the question, whether this is total tchiyas amesa or only a little tchiyas amesa to get the guy out of the grave. What's up, Nechanim?
I didn't say bones so they can don't officially decay.
So it's the same thing by Atzmos Yosef, right? At the end of Parshas Vayechi and the end of Parshas Beshalach, so the Miamlu, the beginning of Parshas Beshalach, so the Miamlu says that he quotes over there that some tzaddikim daven that they should get a kapara for what they had done wrong in this world instead of in the next, and one of those kaparas is that their body should rot and that they should be bones instead of regular flesh and blood, so that they can get that kapara immediately. Everybody here, you've done makos before. Daf Yud, with Yehuda's bones rolling around in the kever, it's clear as day that Yehuda had bones. They were not flesh and blood. So they say that they got that from Yosef, right? That they understood from Yosef that that's the right thing to do to daven, that you should get a kapara for what you might have done wrong in this world rather than get it in the next. I'm just going to list off the 18 miracles, whether or not there's 16 or 18. Splitting the Jordan River, cursing the water of Jericho, curing the water of Jericho, cursing the wicked boys, the 42 kids, and killing them, supplying water for the armies of Judah, Israel, and Edom when they were fighting against Ammon, the miracle of the flask of oil that it kept going, right? Blessing the woman of Shunem with a son, giving him Tchias Amesim after he died, curing the poison that was inside the big pot, you know, the food pot of the Nevi'im, feeding the 100 prophets with only the 20 loaves of bread and a few raisins that they had gotten, curing Naaman.
Isn't that a Christian thing also?
What?
The feeding of
I don't know, I never read the New Testament. Yeah. When you read it, tell me. I'm into this book, though. Number 11, afflicting Gehazi with leprosy, giving him Tzaraas back. Recovering the lost axe head. Remember, the axe went inside the water. Causing his servant to see the armies of angels that were surrounding them so they wouldn't be afraid. Capturing the army of Aram, right? Making sure the army of Aram was going to be there. That was earlier. Number 15, frightening away the army of Aram that had laid siege to Shomron, right? That when they ran away immediately. Number 16, punishing the officer who had mocked the word of God. Number 17, causing a famine to punish the people for worshipping Baal, right? Number 18, giving Tchias Amesim to that guy right over there. So that's that over there. I'm sorry? How long, Elisha? We don't know. Very long time. That was extremely old.
Yehu was king for how long?
To 23 years, 28 years, yeah.
The next one was 16.
Oh, wait. He had guided Bnei Yisrael 66 years. Yeah. That was when he was the chief Navi. That doesn't include when he was a Talmud of Aliyah. What's up, Nechemiah?
Wait, the miracle of Aram doesn't count as a miracle, like him telling...
There's two... The miracle of Aram, that's basically frightening the army of Aram. What do you mean, this last one?
Yeah. The one with the arrows.
Yeah, three times the arrows.
Because apparently, it didn't happen during his lifetime. So I guess that doesn't count.
Neither does
it. Well, this amazing is a big kasha of why it counts or not. If it does count, then the reason why it counts is to show that it wasn't Elisha doing any of this, Usa Kadosh Baruch Hu. That Elisha was only the vehicle for God to cause the miracles.
Why does it matter how many miracles there were on the end of the day?
Another double Eliyahu Navi. Whatever Eliyahu had. If Eliyahu Navi had 8 or 9, that was the kasha. Right, so he had 16 or 18.
But it makes sense that he would, with the miracle of the bones, attributed to him because Eliyahu did Tchias Amesim once, so Elisha needs to do it twice.
So that's the kasha. If he did Tchias Amesim twice, it might have been that curing Tzaraas from Naaman was also considered Tchias Amesim.
No.
I mean, that's the kasha because
Gemara says that
Gemara and Nadar said that poor people are considered very good, poor people are considered dead. Poor person, somebody doesn't have any children, blind, and somebody has Tzaraas. And poor people are considered like they're dead. That's a Gemara above Metzia and Nun Testament Aleph based on Dovid and Aleph, but that's a different Gemara altogether. That's just saying that if you whiten the person's to that, whatever, it's like he's dead, but it's not like you killed him. But it's
white
not,
or red,
a little bit different. I'm sorry,
white and red.
Well, it's funny. Red is the first, but total embarrassment is white when he loses all the blood in the system. Let's go to Chav Beis, guys. It says, "Vayachazol Melech Aram Lochat Yisrael Kol Yoachaz Chazol the King Aram oppressed Bnei Yisrael all the days of Yoachaz Ve'achan Hashem Olsam Hakadosh Baruch Hu pitied them. That's Chayin. Vayirachamim and he had mercy on them. Vayifenaleim Lamam Briso Safram Yisrael Yaakov and he saved them. He turned to them and helped them because of his birth without." From Yitzchak and Yaakov, lo avo yashchisam, he didn't want to destroy them. Lo yishlichem alpanav aratzo, and he did not cast them away, even from his presence. Even now, and that's the line that whoever wrote Malachim, which is probably Chizkiyahu or Ezra, whoever finished it off, whoever wrote up until this point. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu protects us even up until that time, meaning it goes even for now. Okay, by Yamas Chazol Melach Aram, Chazol the king of Aram died. Yimlo ben Hadad ben Otato ben Hadad became the king of Aram instead of him. By Yashu Yoash ben Yoach. Yosh ben Yoachaz returned, but he took them away from Ben Hadad ben Chazol. Because remember, the only reason why Chazol was so successful is because he got a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would be successful. When Chazol died, Ben Hadad became in charge. He no longer had that bracha. Shalachim Yad Yoachaz Aviv, the Malchum that he had taken during the days of Yoachaz, the father of Yehoash. The Malchum Shalosh Pa'amin, he code 3 times. He hit him, Yoash. Yoash was able to destroy them, but Yosh was already Yisrael, and he got back all the cities of Bnei Yisrael, but it was only 3 times. It wasn't anything more than that. Perek Yud Dalid, and hopefully we'll be able to finish this perek off. Shnashtan Yoash ben Yoachaz, Melech Yisrael, Melech Matzio ben Yoash, Melech Yuda. In the second year of Yoash, the son of Yoachaz, Melech Yisrael, Amatzio, the son of Yoash, became the king of Yehuda. Matsyahu. We should know the Vav and the Yud and the Hey are interchangeable with all of these people. So Ben Hester Nechamish Shana Hayyub Amalcho. He was 25 years old when he became king. The Hester Matesha Shana Malach Yerushalayim. 29 years he ruled in Yerushalayim. Hashem Imo Yo Adon, meaning Yerushalayim. His mother was Yo Adon from Yerushalayim. Yathir Asher Ben Hashem. He did good in the eyes of Hashem. Loki David Avi, but not like David. Rak Loki David Avi, not like David his father. Kolosh Asi Yoash Avi Vasa. He did everything that Yoash did. Yoash was a big tzaddik in the days of Yoyada. He learned from Yoash. Now the difference was is that Amatzik continued the practices, but he didn't have the teachings, the teachers, the way that his father Yoash did. Yoash had the greatest teacher, Yoyada. He had different teachers, but they weren't as good, and therefore he didn't do anything as piously, and he lacked conviction. He didn't have everything that he was supposed to have when he came to this.
He also maybe learned the lesson, though, of his father. Like, he saw his father at the end of his life.
What happened?
You know, what happened, so he not to do that.
You are correct. There are, unfortunately, there are going to be some things. Rakabamas will sorrow. He didn't turn away the bumble.
His father didn't do that either, even when...
Right. Well, we don't know. Yoash, it doesn't say. It doesn't say about Yoash's father.
Said the one before Yoash.
Yeah. Oda Om Mizabkum and Kachem Babamos. The people were still sacrificing as well as bringing Ketores up on the Bumos, unfortunately. So now, when the kingdom was strong in his hands, he had destroyed the servants who had killed his father. Remember, his father was killed in a conspiracy, right? So he had killed those people. But he did not kill the children of the conspirators. Because of the Sefer Torah's Moshe. He told everyone, it's because that's written in the Sefer Torah's Moshe. Children will not die for their fathers. Fathers will not die for their sons. King They will all die in their own sins. Now, this is a strange little
right?
Okay, so here's what it is. Meaning, it's obviously unjust, but it was the way of the kings back then that when a person was a conspirator, did something wrong, then everybody in his family was killed. Achan was a great call. Achav, we had, you know, from what happened before, but that was a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was a nevuah, so that's different. He said destroy all of Achav's house.
No. Achav got in trouble for killing not only Navos, but his...
Oh, all his children as well. Very good. Yeah. Right. It was the way of the person to be able to do that. In the times of Yoshua, Achan, all of Achan's kids were killed as well, which was very strange. Yeah, that's part of Rashi. Rashi, Mitzvah, David, the Radak, right? They go through and said that Achan's kids were killed as well.
But they must have done the same thing. They must have been in them with the
plot.
So
that's when all the Midrashim say they were involved in whatever it was, right? Or they said that they knew what Achan was doing and therefore they were helping him or whatever. But it is strange that these people, Dustin Aviram died in the Midbar. What happened to Dustin Aviram's family? Even
but
the
they were all
killed.
They were a whole group of people. At Askorah wasn't
meaning,
like him and his friend.
There's reason in history to see that there's reasons to believe that when somebody is killed, other people should be killed. This was a chiddush of Amatzia that he paskin that conspirators they are killed, but their children are not.
What's a chiddush?
The children
a
don't go
in.
But that pasuk really doesn't apply for this. Lo yisal avos abanim banal yisal avos is not referring to this specifically. It's referring to, according to the Gemara, that children do not testify for their fathers. The fathers do not testify for the children.
Right,
meaning
the
fathers cannot be killed through their sons, and sons cannot be killed through their fathers.
Right, but Beis Din is not allowed to say, oh, if this guy's high, he says, let's go kill his kids too.
But Beis Din isn't.
Right.
But Melech can. Yeah, and Melechim did. So that's why he was the first person to not do it, Amatzia. And that's why he said specifically, I'm darshing this pasuk, kipshuto. Meaning kapashipshat. Not like the way Chazal darshan it, but I'm doing the kipshuto instead.
Chazal came much later.
What I'm going to do.
Much more original.
No, the Chazal was already there. At least the Torah Shaval Peh behind it. They had to have a translation that goes through. And by the way, I believe it's Yonah Zimbadu Zeal that translates it that way. So although that is a Tana, nonetheless, that's something that would have been a Mesoro from all the way back when. Also, the line is Torah's Moshe. Torah's Moshe is a question why it's called Torah's Moshe. Possibly because it's Devarim. Devarim is called Sefer. Devarim is called Torah's Moshe. And this pasuk is in Kiseta at the end of Kiseta. It's possible also that it's because Moshe Rabbeinu said it himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should a righteous person be punished for his father's sins, then Avram Avinu should be punished because of Terach, his father. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, therefore that law will be mentioned in your name, Zichur Torah Moshe Avi. Okay. Pasuk Zayin. Hu hikas Edom begei Melech. He killed Edom in Gei Melech, right? That's an area down there. Aseret Elohim. 10,000 people were killed. That's a betavas asela b'mochama. He captured the rock in that war. Vayikra Shema Yekos El. He called it Yoxael, Adiyamazah, up until today. the Divrei Yamim, it says that he had 300,000 warriors that were going to go out to war, and he was offered 100,000 warriors from the kingdom of Israel. He said no to the kingdom of Israel. I don't want to do it, right? And he said no, and the reason why he was told that way is from, I believe it was Yonah. I just have to check very quickly. Where is it? I forgot where it is. The man of God. It doesn't say who the man of God is. I believe it's Yonah. I don't remember where I saw that. Either way, he listened to it, and he understood, but because he later on violated the Torah by worshiping idols, he sinned, and the people of Israel took the revenge against him for not including them in the war. So that's what we're going to see what's going to happen. At that point, Amatya sent messengers to Yehosh, the son of Yoachim, the son of Yehu, king of Israel, saying, let us confront one another, let's go up against one another, let's fight each other. Because apparently, what Amatya thought was that if I'm not allowed to take warriors from their nation, it must be that they're a bunch of sinners and they're a bunch of evil people and they deserve to die.
They were.
So Amatya was not right in doing this, though, because you don't do this without asking, number one, the Kohen Gadol and the Nevi'im at the time. He did this on his own. But Yishlach Yehosh Melech Yisrael Amatya Melech Yehuda.
How does he know when to decide he's got to ask somebody or just do it on his own? He is the king. He doesn't get to...
King still...
Yeah, but every war they had to go to, they had to ask
their...
Just only wars?
Gemar Brachos, correct. Right. Whenever it came to war. By the way, as a side note, had Yoash won that war and the ten tribes would have been under his command, who knows if there would have been an exile of the ten tribes?
We already had the Nevuah.
Well, of course, the Nevuah was there, but that's only if there's a Malchus Yisrael. If they would join in with Malchus Yehuda, maybe they would be bottled to Malchus Yehuda. That's true also. A bad Nevuah can be changed into a good Nevuah.
You can't unrip the coat.
Well, you never know. You never know. It could be that it would be under another mazel. That's possible for it to be under. Either way, but Yishlach Yehosh Melech Yisrael Matyo. Now, Yehosh Melech Yisrael, you got to remember, guys, this is from the family, not of Ahav. Ahav's kids were all killed, right? This is a brand new family, right? Of a brand new family that took over the kingdom of Israel, right? From what's his name? From,
Yoram?
I keep remembering, forgetting his name. What's his name?
Yoram.
Yehoram. No. Yeah. Yoram? Was Yoram?
He was the son of Ahav.
No, it wasn't Ahav's kids. It was, who was the guy that took over?
The guy that was pulled away.
Yehu, thank you. Yeah. Yehu. So we got to remember that it was Yehu. Yehu was told to destroy all the kids of Ahav. There was one family that they hadn't yet totally destroyed. The kings of Malchus Yehuda. Because remember, Asalia was from Ahav.
Yeah, but he killed everybody who was from...
Except for Yoash. Yoash was still alive, and he still perpetuated the memory of Ahav.
Yeah, but
which meant
Yoash was a descendant of that wife. It might have been from a different one.
No, we already said that he was one of the last ones, which means that this Amatya, who's the son of Yoash, is still part of that whole family of Ahav, who Yoash was commanded through his grandfather to kill.
No.
So that's the idea.
Yoash's mother was Sia, and she was another wife.
Remember, Asalia was the grandmother. Asalia was the grandmother.
No, she was another wife.
Yehoash came from the previous king whose mother was Asalia. Remember that. That was Asalia. Asalia was the grandmother of Yoash, which meant that Yoash was an Ahavite or Ahavite. So the only people from Ahav that were left were the kings of Yehuda. So Yoash sent it back and said, HaKoach Asher B'Levanon, Shalach Ares, the thorns that live in the Levanon, that's referring to the base of the Mikdash, they sent to the cedar woods, the kingdom of Israel, Asher B'Levanon, Lamor, Tinaz Bitcha Levani, Leisha, give me your daughter for my son as a wife. Atavar Chayis Asad Asher B'Levanon, and then the wild animals of the field that were in the living room, they trampled over the thorns. You just destroyed Edom, and all of a sudden you have some gaiva on you. He's kaved, okay? Stay with your honor. Stay in your house. Why should you be involved and start up with trouble? You will fall, and Yehuda is going to fall together with you. Okay? Obviously, there's a lot over here, right? There's a little bit of a mention. Again, we said before that Amatya is still from Ahav, and he's trying to say, what do you deserve over here? This is now the, unfortunately, it was a massive period change. During the times of Ahav, there was friendship between the house of Ahav and the house of Malchus Yehuda. Before that, there was war. Now, it's back to war again. Okay, now, once Achab was gone, and it's in Ehud's family, there was no longer any friendship between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. Amatyahu did not listen. They fought against each other. The Beit Shemesh Hashel Yehuda, right by Beit Shemesh Hashel Yehuda, meaning the king of Israel was so assured of his victory, he even went out in the territory of Yehuda to fight him. And you know that Yehuda was Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yehuda were plagued in front of Bnei Yisrael. Yanusa Yishlo Olav, everybody ran home. Amatya, the son of Yehuda, the king of Yehuda, son of Yehosh, son of Achaziah, Tophas Yehosh Melech Yisrael Beit Shemesh, he captured him in Beit Shemesh, by Avo Yerushalayim, and he brought him to Yerushalayim, by Yifrot Bechomet Yerushalayim, and he breached the walls of Yerushalayim, by Shar Ephraim, by the gate of Ephraim, Ad Shar Apina, Arba Meos Alma, until the gate of the corner, 400 Amos altogether, to show that the kingdom of Israel is, the kingdom of Israel is more powerful than the kingdom of Yehuda. The Lachas is called Zavet, the Ketzav, so Kola Kilim, and Nisim Beit Hashem, he took all the gold and the silver and all the kelim that were found in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'otos Beis HaMelech, and in the treasuries of the king, that's Bnei HaTaruvos, as well as the hostage children. Yehoash had captured people from Yehu's family to serve as his servants so that Yehu would never fight against him. Now Amatya lost all of them. The Asher Shomron, they went back to the Shomron, they had taken all the vessels that were donated by Obed Edom. Obed Edom, remember, had the Aron by his property for a long time. He kept the Aron by him. He took all that stuff back. Let's finish off this part. Yesterday for Yehoash Asher, also Rosh Hashanah and Matzeo Melech Yehuda. Everything else that Yehoash did of Yehud Yisrael, right? His strength that he waged war against Amatya, the king of Yehuda, like Ksuv Malchiv Divrayim, the Malchi Yisrael. It's written in Malchi Divrayim, which we don't have. By Yishkav Yehoash and Mavosav, he lied with his fathers, but he covered Bishomron, he was buried in the Shomron in Malchi Yisrael, but Yimloch Yerovim Benotavzav. Yerovim, his son, reigned after him, and that's that. Unfortunately, because he used arrogance and gaiva, he died early. That's what ended up happening to what's his name? To Yehoash, king of Yisrael. He died early only because of that. He grabbed and said everything. I'm sorry?
Why didn't he kill Amatya? Wasn't the whole point of
I guess he felt that it wasn't respectful, but for some reason he didn't kill him.
These people didn't respect anything.
It is a little bit strange.
And he took the Beis Hamikdash stuff.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's exactly what he did. He ended up taking it. I don't know why he didn't kill Amatya. You should know it could be that Amatya hid a little bit because we're going to see what happened with this kid.
Did Malchus Yisrael, because we see that they didn't subjugate Yehuda, so it could be that they kind of had respect for Malchus Beis Hamikdash. They believed in the Nevuah that is something that.
So they had to have something. Still, nonetheless, they could have killed Amatya. It is strange. Maybe it was part of it. You know, he wanted to kill him in the beginning, but then he said, you know what? This is the Malchus Yehuda. Yeah, maybe we should leave it alone. Maybe you are right about that. He reigned Amatya for the next 15 years. It's written in Divrei Yamin. There was another, unbelievable, right? Another plot to kill him. He ran to Lachish. They sent after him to Lachish and they killed him there. They carried him up on horses. He was buried in Yerushalayim. David with his fathers in years of David. Unbelievable, isn't it?
So Amatya also killed him, and then they brought him back and buried him.
Well, I guess somebody else brought him back, not the people who killed him. But Amatya and his father were both killed. The first two kings and the only two kings to be killed by conspiracy in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not counting Asalia.
Yehuda, there was respect for the line of David because in Malchus Yisrael, if somebody kills the king, he becomes king.
That's true.
So over in here, Yehuda, if they kill the king, it's always the son.
Vayikhu kolam Yehuda as Azariah. So all the people Yehuda took Azariah. Azariah is also known as Uziah. Okay, this is Uziah. And Behu ben Sheshes Rashani was 16 years old. Yemlukol zotachzav Yamatia. They put him in charge under his father Amatya. Hubanas Elat. He built up Elat. Vayishivah Yehuda and he returned to Yudah Kolei Shchavam Alechem Lavosav after the king died together with his fathers. There's a lot of question about what that means exactly. Was Amatya still alive for a little bit when Uziah or Azariah became king, when he went to Lachish? How long was he there for before he was killed in Lachish? So maybe Amatya was still alive. So it seems that it was saying Acharei Shchava Melechim Avosav, after his father died, meaning he was king before his father died. And then he captured Eilat and took Eilat after his father died. Now we have to understand that. They had already killed Edom. So Edom was already gone. Edom is in the south of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Negev and a little bit to the east of Eretz Yisrael, basically where Saudi Arabia is. Eilat was never part of biblical whole Israel. However, it was built up at some point, and it was built up by Shlomo Melech to become a port city, right? And then again by Azariah slash Uzziah, who ended up becoming the king, he took that land and I guess sent out ships again. I mean, what else do you need a lot for? A lot is not necessary for any other reason other than to set out ships.
Port stuff, how did they bring the stuff from a lot to your client?
They had roads.
Camels. Yeah, it has to be camels all the way through the desert. Although I'm
six
sure...
6 hours when you stop.
What do you just say? Yeah, but on a bus.
Oh, what's there to do in Eilat now? Okay. Yeah. I went to Eilat for a total of 27 hours. I got the Rechival Shabbos, stayed for Shabbos.
That's 26
right after
too many.
It was 26 too many? What's the 1 hour for?
You gotta go once and see it.
Yeah, it's a long drive down there. I wanted to go. I only went to go to the aquarium. Only went to go to the aquarium. And the end, it was a huge aquarium. I went on the coldest day of the year. It was in the middle of the winter, which is like 68
degrees. Yeah, I went to
the aquarium. Right, and I went down there. I went to go. I went straight to the aquarium. They were closing in 20 minutes. I offered them 100 checks to be able to get in. They said no. So I didn't be able to get in. Oh, so then I went straight to the hotel. I stayed in the hotel the whole time. We had a minion in the building itself. So that was that. What?
You were in base?
Yeah. First year in this. So that was it.
That's why you went down there. It was your first
right.
year.
Yeah. Had to, you know,
you better by year three.
Eighth year. And, you know. All right, anyway. Ended up working out well. Pasuk Chav Gimel says, V'shas Chamesh Esrei Shana L'Amatziyahu Ben Yoash. In the 15th year of Amatzi, the king of Yoash, Melech Yehuda, son of Yoash, Melech Yehuda, king of Yehuda, Melech Yeravam Ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael B'Shamron, Arbaim Machal Shana, Yeravam, son of Yoash, became king for 41 years. That's awesome. The Yazar Abin Hashem. He did evil in the eyes of God. He never turned away from the sins of Yerubim and Asher and Yisrael that he had made Bnei Yisrael sin. Have you noticed the pattern, by the way? In Malchus David, you're known as a good person, even though you went off at the end of your life. In Malchus Yisrael, even if you technically were good, Yehoash, remember, was best friends with Elisha. He believed in Elisha and was trusted Elisha tremendously. Nonetheless, they're all known as evil because they never removed the sins of Yerubim and Avot. However, he returned to the borders of Israel from Levo Hamas, that's all the way up by the Lebanon, until the Yama Arava, the Sea of Reeds, Kedvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Dibi Ad Avdo Yonah Ben Amitai, like Yonah told him he was going to do a Navi, Asher Migas HaChefer, Kiroa Hashem Atzani Yisrael, Moira Ma'id, God saw that the poorness of Yisrael was terribly bitter. The Ephes HaTzur, the Ephes HaZuv, they had nothing left, they had a tremendous, there was nothing guarded, nothing abandoned, they know Zil Yisrael, nobody was helping them. Kedvar Hashem Limchos Hashem Yisrael, Mitachas Hashem Yoshem Biyad Rav Ben Yoash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not spoken of, yet of wiping out the name of Ben Yisrael from under the heavens, so he saved them in the hands of Yerubim Ben Nevat. There's a question of when Yonah gave this Nebuah. There are three different times. It's possible that it's in the actual Navi, the Navi Yonah. It's possible it's at some other time. Anyway, the reason why he was so successful, Yerubim Ben Yoash, even though he's such an evil person and he worshipped Avodah Zarah, is because he refused to believe Lashon Hara about Amos. People said that Amos was trying to start a rebellion against Bnei Yisrael. That's what they said about Amos, the famous Navi. And Yerubim Ben Yoash said, no way, I don't believe it. And because he didn't believe that Lashon Hara, therefore Bnei Yisrael were saved and they were given all the land back that Bnei Yisrael used to have in the times of Shlomo Melech. Unbelievable stuff, just because he didn't accept the Lashon Hara. The fact that he brought back Damascus, that's Hamas Yehuda, as well as Hamas to Yehuda, not that Hamas, Yisrael. It's written in Sefer Divrei Yom Lemalchi Yisrael, the Yishkav Rabbim Yavos and Malchi Yisrael, Yenloch Zechariah Ben Otafta, Zechariah, I believe the 16th king of Bnei Yisrael, right? He became the king in his place. We're starting from Parshas Vav.